Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang, and this is episode number 249. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday shows, and it's another great one in our Fitness Friday series. We'll be hearing from returning guest, Sabrina Joe, who will join us in just a minute. Sabrina Joe, of course, is a favorite with our Not Old Better audience and is the American Council on Exercise Director of Science and Research Content. Sabrina Joe will be here to share important information about starting your exercise routine in anticipation of the National Institute on Aging annual Go for Life program coming in September 2018. We'll also talk to Sabrina Joe about my ongoing diet program with an update from me. But first, and I promise we'll be joined by Sabrina Joe in just a moment, a bit of background on the NIA Go for Life program as preamble to our conversation with Sabrina Joe. Many of you in the Not Old Better Show audience have heard me mention this wonderful program previously when we've spoken to Go for Life director Stephanie Daly, and we'll be talking to Stephanie Daly again over the next several weeks, actually during the Go for Life campaign, with updates, resources, and program details. But if you want to learn easy ways to increase your activity level in everyday life, get excited about Go for Life and check out our upcoming Go for Life series. The National Institute on Aging, part of the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, is launching its annual Go for Life month in September 2018. This year's theme is Get Ready, Get Moving, Go for Life. The program offers free resources to help older adults work out a bit more, push themselves a little harder, and try all types of exercise. So get ready to get moving and go for life. Subscribe now for our upcoming episodes to the Not Old Better Show, all of which, of course, are free. So get ready, get moving, and go for life.
The Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday News.
Sabrina Joe, welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be back.
It's always good to talk to you. I say that over and over again. I do enjoy it. And you have so many wonderful things to offer to us. But I know you're very busy, and I want to just jump right in and give you an update as to kind of where I stand on my weight loss project. It's going well. I'm down another 2 pounds. I currently am weighing 179. Honestly, Sabrina, I thought it might go a little faster, but it is what it is. You know, I have a doctor's appointment next week, so I'll have all of this in confirmation. But I think I kind of have to pick it up some. Do you think, I mean, down another 2 pounds, but I don't know. I guess I was hoping maybe that it might go a little, faster. I don't know that I'm going to hit my goal. You know, I've got about 9 pounds to go. And so I don't know that I'm going to hit this. So I'm just kind of foreshadowing for you so that you'll pick up the pieces as I break up here.
Well, thanks for your update and for being honest.
Always.
And I often find when helping people with weight loss goals that in the beginning, they tend to experience a bit of a rapid loss, like kind of like you did with those first 6 pounds.
Yep.
And then the body levels off a little bit and they don't see as much weight loss. And so they get a little bit discouraged. But the weight continues to slowly decline if they're still, working in their efforts, their daily habits, but not as quickly as they'd like. So what you're experiencing is nothing that I haven't heard before. I think it's just the natural response that the human body does when it starts to lose weight. It tends to level off a little bit after initial rapid weight loss. So nothing is out of the ordinary from what you're experiencing. And you also explained to us one of the last couple of times we were together that you enjoyed life as well. You had some cake. Mm-hmm. You did some things that weren't necessarily strict in terms of your diet, but nonetheless, you still lost weight. And one thing that I haven't mentioned before, but I think is important, is that maintaining or not gaining is actually progress. So if you think about that, if your body was kind of in this trend where it was gaining weight for mm-hmm. a while, for maybe several months or for a few years, where you're just kind of on this constant weight gain track, and if you've halted that and you've not only lost weight, but you've maintained and you've prevented more weight gain, then your habits are actually paying off. So try not to lose sight of that as well as you go forward.
Yeah, and I will say this, and we kind of talked about this, that I think it'll be something that I'll want to come back to with you over the course of the next several months. I'm not going to abandon my goal. I do still feel like I want to drop another 9 pounds. I really do feel like that. But I am eating differently. I'm eating a lot more, just lower fat. I've replaced, I still eat meat, but I've replaced some of the meat with just a chicken breast or a chicken thigh in some rice. Gretchen and I kind of on Sundays make some chicken bowls, kind of coming up for the week. Gretchen's had a busy summer. And so that's just that advanced preparation has allowed me to eat differently. Gretchen and I on Saturdays, I mentioned to you, we're going out on these hikes. And so we're getting outdoors. That's kind of changed both for me and for Gretchen. And so, I definitely think things are changing. I want to maintain. And so I think reporting back to you over the course of the next several months, even through the winter months, I think is going to be important because I want to continue to reverse this because it has crept up on me over the course of the last couple of years. And I want to reverse that, keep it going, and then at some point maintain it.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense. Typically what I would recommend when working with clients who have experienced either a stall or a slowdown, like you've explained in the weight loss, is, again, just kind of revisit the diet. Is there anything else you can do that's not too restrictive? But it sounds like you have a good handle on your diet. The other thing we look at is the physical activity itself or the exercise itself. And maybe throwing in some new types or modalities. For example, I know that you've introduced hiking, which is kind of a long duration type of activity, which is wonderful. Right. Another thing you might consider is maybe looking at some of this high intensity interval training programming that we've discussed, or the HIIT training. So eventually that might be something kind of fun to add into your program. Maybe not now while you're doing these longer hikes, but maybe, as we get toward the fall and winter months when it's not as nice to go outside.
Yeah. Excellent idea. Because I do find I can get into a rut exercising. I have introduced some more arm work. You had explained to us a really great idea about when we talked about lower back pain, about kind of doing a dumbbell row. And so I've introduced that and I'm doing that regularly. But I do get into a rut using, the elliptical machine, all right? I think, okay, I've got time for some cardio, and I'm just going to go in there and do that. And I'm really familiar with the elliptical machine, or sometimes I'll get on the rowing machine itself, and that will be, kind of my exercise. So looking back at the HIIT activity, I think that's really nice. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, so sometimes clients find that just changes like that will start to move the needle in the right direction again in terms of the scale if we're talking about weight.
right.
But you do bring up a great point about the strength or resistance training, and I do find that if a person can incorporate all of those things that we always talk about, both the aerobic exercise plus the strength training, and that can be done either one of those modalities can be done with HIIT training as well. But if you really focus on adding strength training, if you're not already doing it, that can make a huge difference as well. And as we've learned, the older we get, the more strength becomes important for the health of our soft tissues and muscles and bones.
Good. Great. Well, I just wanted to give you that update. I'm going to, as I say, I'm going to go see my doctor next week, and I'll get some kind of written confirmation that I can share with you, and that we'll just, you know, kind of keep going with this.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for the update.
Good. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? I want to just take a second and give you some congratulations. And really, this is not in any way self-congratulatory, because really, this is you. I just want to tell you that the PBS Next Avenue website has indicated that three out of their top 10 most highly trafficked content areas are three shows that you have done for the Not Old, Better audience. The number three show is the exercise tips on how to combat the sedentary life. Number four on their list is exercise right by using the talk test. And then number 10 is how much does weight change affect back pain? So congrats to you and the ACE team, because those are all great subjects that have come from directly from the ACE site. The audience on the PBS Next Avenue page loves those. And for our listeners, if you want to go to the PBS Next Avenue page, right on the homepage is the trending top 10. And you'll see those 10 programs where the Not Old, Better show featuring Sabrina Joe and the ACE Fitness Research shows up. So Sabrina Joe, congrats to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Paul. That makes me feel so good, because I know that us doing this show is simply about sharing information about ways to become more physically active. And really, that's the mission behind ACE. It's certainly what I'm trying to do. So combining my efforts with you has really been a joy, and it looks like people are listening. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Yeah. Yep, they are. And I agree. I think it's really it's so important to do this. So thank you very much. Well, today I want to spend time talking with you about another subject dear to us, and that's the Go for Life program from the National Institute on Aging at the National Institutes on Health. The Go for Life program is coming up in September. You and I are going to be talking about it a lot. We'll be talking with Stephanie Daly. For everybody who might be unaware, the Go for Life program is an exercise and physical activity campaign, actually, from the National Institute on Aging. And it's designed to help everybody get fit, get a little bit more exercise and a little more physical activity in their daily lives. And I thought what would be really great today, sort of in advance of kind of September, when the Go for Life month kicks off, and you and I will be talking about it a little bit more, I thought it'd be nice to get your perspective as a fitness professional, certainly one that's focused on research in the way that you are in the ACE team. Let's talk about starting out with exercise. You know, let's talk first about defining that starting point. You know, maybe even, you know, I mentioned I'm going to go visit my doctor for kind of just a, you know, routine kind of follow up to some of my weight loss program that I've put in place with you. But what about starting with your doctor? Is that a good idea? You know, this whole area of safety first. Let's start there and kind of think about, from the 55 plus age perspective, what's a good starting place for exercise?
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because there's been a shift in the last couple of years with how we recommend medical clearance to people who are just getting started. And what we found was that in the previous decades, we may have been too restrictive on making sure that a person who gets involved with exercise, and maybe they go from being sedentary into becoming more physically active, that person who wants to get involved in that, perhaps in the past had obstacles like getting an exercise stress test before they could be cleared to go on their forward with their exercise program. And so the restrictions around that have been lifted a little bit, such that it's not so restrictive when we're trying to give people guidance in starting their program. So first and foremost, if you're already physically active somewhat, like if you're already involved in some type of physical activity, whether it's playing a recreational sport or walking or swimming or yoga, then if you're already doing something, it's likely that you're fine to continue doing light to moderate physical activity. So if you're getting involved in a new walking program, for example, but you're already involved in mm-hmm. other types of physical activity, it's probably fine just to go ahead and do that. The issue that you really want to look at is if you've always been sedentary, or if you've been sedentary for some time and you're looking to get back into it again, these are the times where you might want to go just get a medical checkup just to get clearance from your doctor. And quite honestly, your doctor probably will prescribe exercise for you anyway. So it's a great place mm-hmm. to start that conversation anyway. Again, most, even if you do have indications that might mean you've got, oh, let's say, some type of chronic disease like diabetes or high blood pressure or heart disease, even those types of health disorders are benefited by physical activity. So it's highly likely that your doctor is going to recommend that you do it. It's just a good idea to go in, get yourself checked out if you've been sedentary for quite some time, and then you're looking to start again.
Good. Good. I knew you'd have the answer on that, because safety first, I think, is really important. I think the other thing that is sometimes a mystery, certainly it is a almost overwhelming task to go to a sporting goods store or to check an online site for the right shoes for exercise. What would you recommend? And are men and women just completely different in this area? Or what really is the best approach to getting a good pair of exercise shoes just starting out?
Exercise shoes, footwear, these are great areas to gain a little bit of knowledge in. And mm-hmm. what's great about shoe stores these days, especially if you go into athletic shoe stores that are really dedicated to just like the sport kind of shoe, like running or cross training, that type of thing, mm-hmm. they're going to have experts in there to help measure your foot and make sure that you've got a good shoe fit. And really the most important thing when it comes to footwear and physical activity is that it's the right support for whatever performance goals you have, and it's the right fit. So often when you run into problems with footwear is if the fit isn't proper, and so it's rubbing on your foot the wrong way, creating blisters or sores, or if it's the wrong kind of shoe for what you're doing. So if you're planning on engaging in walking and you're wearing a running shoe, it's probably not enough to stop you from just becoming more physically active right away. But over time, the more miles you put on that shoe, you could see a difference in comfort and wear and tear. So just having the right shoe for the right type of activity will set you up for success in the long term.
Good to know. So I think some of the most important considerations, really, now that we've kind of talked a little bit about seeing your doctor, getting kind of that shoe area addressed, I think the next considerations really are, well, what type of exercise do I do? You know, where do I do that exercise? When do I do that? You know, what time of day? And then the who, because you and I have talked about the socialization of exercise, but I think those are important considerations. So maybe take us down that path. Talk to us a little bit about each one of those areas.
All right. Well, in terms of what to do, that is always going to be a matter of personal preference. I remember when I was an undergraduate in college, I was getting my exercise science degree, and my exercise physiology professor asked the class, what's the best kind of exercise you can possibly do? And a few people raised their hands and had answers like, well, it should be, you know, walking. Another one would raise their hand and say, it should be strength training. Another person said it should be swimming. And the professor finally responded with, actually, the answer is, it's whatever you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And so that stuck with me, and it continues to be true today, because research bears out the fact that if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're really not going to continue to do it. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, if you can find an activity that really speaks to you and you actually look forward to doing, even if that's just walking outside, if that's a part of your day that you can look forward to, then you're more likely to do it. Now, I'll give you a personal story. I actually don't enjoy being outside. I would prefer to be in the gym setting. That's kind of how I got started in fitness, and it always feels like home when I'm in the gym. So for me, my preference is always going to be in the gym, either doing some type of elliptical machine or some type of strength training, or maybe even a fitness class. But going outside is never my first choice. And I bring that up because there's such a large variety of methods for people to actually get their exercise in that it really is based on preference. Mm-hmm. Another thing to consider is the intensity. So as you're starting your exercise journey, if you're just beginning, you definitely want to keep it light in the beginning, such that whatever you're doing, you're not forcing yourself to become out of breath. And that's why walking is such a great place for many people to start. So whether it's walking on a treadmill or walking outside, it's most people walk anyway, so we have experience with that skill, and you can gauge your intensity by how hard you're breathing. So you'll notice a lot of physicians and even starting programs will have people just walk. And that's another reason why shoe fit and shoe structure is so important to check those things as well.
Good. Well, good. Well, Sarita and Joe, another great conversation with you. We, of course, are going to be talking a lot more about some of these concepts of helping people get ready to exercise, and particularly focused on the Go for Life month in September. But Sabrina Joe, great talking to you. We'll follow up in another week.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Sabrina. So get ready, get moving, and go for life. Subscribe now for our upcoming episodes to the Not Old Better Show, of course, all of which are free.